Today is day 10 of waiting for Overwatch 2024 competitive info. We are manning our watch. The walls are mounted. We are steadfast in our pursuit of the truth, the information. I don't know why I started this sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but here we are. Sean Miller, we know the truth's out there. We're coming.
I wish. Yeah, no, like 10 days after the final. Of course, a little bit preparing for World Cup is coming up. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're looking to the absolute abyss of no content.
No.
It's actually probably also the best year to revive World Cup is to not be super daunting, just like really look into the black hole and get spaghetti-fied by like no professional Overwatch whatsoever inside or high-level Overwatch. I wouldn't necessarily call World Cup professional Overwatch. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, give us the info on next year.
Lots of info. We're clamoring for figuring out what comes next. We're still looking forward to that. Everybody's just juicing. We've got CN Overwatch just absolutely going nuclear with the takes, with the leaks, with the he said, she said, they said. It's all kinds of pouring out from the East. We do have a little bit of ATL stuff to kind of like ponder about, wonder. Some news regarding the Houston Outlaws and the Shanghai Dragons and maybe what that could mean. And perhaps maybe a condensed conversation about what coaching is, who we're selecting for. And should we be surprised? Is that fair? Who knows? We don't know, but we'll decide. And then we have some hills to die on. And by hills to die on, I mean I put Yiska on trial for having outrageous and egregious takes.
Okay. We'll see about that, mate.
I think he's got one loaded for me too, so if you're excited for that, stay tuned to episode 318. And this episode is brought to you by, as I get a hair off me, it's brought to you by Battle Crab, Refine Bean, Bronze Bot, Buhao, Picasso, Lulshin, Porchop, Sammy, Rexane, Volumelon, Sugar High, and our YouTube members, Blaif, Bliss, IMDRW, Brother, Adamel, Ice Am Jello, Fire Element 6, and AK. Top of the hour. Houston Outlaws, Shanghai Dragons, rosters, gonzo, all free agents. Yeah. Is that crazy? Is that like newsworthy? Are we surprised?
No, and I think like that's probably also the expectations of everyone that this was going to happen. I reported on it. I personally didn't think it was totally given that options windows would open and season end would be declared. I think there are some reasons theoretically why you might not want to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it just makes a lot of sense to wait for whatever information is coming up in order to make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. And it's really a tough ask for an organization to, maintain contracts. So
sure, of course. Yeah. It's definitely a lot of overhead. You still have to like kind of finish paying those out. And if you activate any kind of like additional, 30 days or you pull the trigger on another year, like that's just more money to burn, right? We don't know what's happening. Nobody knows what's happening. So why spend the money, right? Why waste more money at this point? Doesn't shock me either. If anything, it kind of is surprising that we're not getting more of these more frequently. I don't know if that's something that we can cope on, but it's surprising that I'm not seeing like every day
is waiting for the official end date of their contracts, or they're playing chicken with other organizations not having wanting
Could
to
be.
Take the brunt of the
sure
of the situation. But I think we are like GG Recon is recording an episode about this particular topic. It might be coming out around the time this episode also releases. So check out GG Recon Overwatch. I'll sit down with Elliot and try my best to, in easy terms, explain what happened and what might considerations might be. And what kind of news we can also expect in the close future from teams. And yeah, I don't want to take too much away from day job work, but yeah, that's the extent to which I'm happy to talk about.
Got it. All right, yeah, definitely check that out, because that's something I think a lot of people are going to be interested to hear about. I think the report that you published kind of got a little bit buried by a leaker gone rogue, but also maybe not a leaker, who knows. And yeah, there's definitely info there that probably needs to be like disseminated. It can kind of start to guide people as we get little pieces of info as it kind of drips out. And maybe me and Elliot need to kind of connect, because, you know, as somebody who's worked with you for God knows how long now, I feel like.
You're doing also a shitload of your scripts, right? Like, we recently did the main one. I'm not sure if you saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's always cool to see. For glad sure. that they can have some kind of value and be useful somewhere. But yeah, check out the Mayhem stuff. It was fun to write a little ode to them.
Yeah. Also, just because you just brushed over the topic, I would love some additional scrutiny. Reddit, we got to talk. 150 follower account, really? Like,
yeah, like why is that something that we're just latching onto?
Yeah, come on. Very and then bizarre. People got to come out. Like, I like the basic sniff test of what the public knows should already have informed you that, like, at least some information in there cannot be accurate based on what we know, right? I also left a comment and whatnot. Let me have a human moment, because, like, people that are listening to this are fans of mine as well, anyway, so I'm preaching to a choir, or, like, of ours. Mm-hmm. It feels discouraging to see this, like, be boosted and have a report that I probably talked to 25 sources, right? Like, be buried for, oh, by the way, a kid that probably just talked to someone at grand finals and spread misinformation and, like, have that top the charts on the Reddit is a little disappointing. And, like, I know maybe I should have had a more spicy title in order to gain the attention, but I also don't necessarily want to do that, right? Like, I think
that this was effectively a post from, like, 2018, you know, or like a parody Twitter account in the, like, off season. Like, everybody just got, like, fucking debated by, like, you know, the Los Angeles Gladiators, but the Ellen Gladiators is actually an I, you know, like, it's this is nothing. This is a nothing burger. Watch your, you know, consume content ethically, as we say. Yeah. It's pretty silly.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, maybe some additional scrutiny also, like, just because, like, it also impacts, like, other people's employment. Like, now the Boston Uprising community manager had to come out and speak about that. Yeah. Like, it's a little... I get the thing, right? Like, we all want to find out, like, not only how's the vote going, what's the future... Yeah. Like, who decides what? Like, I agree. This is all, like, super interesting stuff. It's also usually the stuff that people want to see when they don't click on the article and just, like, ask me on Twitter. But, like, yeah, I think it. I understand the desire to find something out about that. But, yeah, I had my issues with, like, faceless community accounts forever. I think, like, skin in the game has to be a given. Track record has to be a given. And yeah, it's like the fact that we don't learn that much. To be fair, like, anonymous leaker accounts in Overwatch kind of are, like, they're not always just bad information, right? Like, very often they actually end up being right. And those that remain anonymous but also stick around and have a reputation now, I'm thinking Varuna, for instance, like, that's that would have been a different thing if Varuna, after, like, several accurate reports, was to say something like this, other than a random account, right? Like, that's not a fan, but what can you do?
This is somebody hearing the fart from a celebrity in the county over and reporting on it. Like, this is, you talk to the janitor and they overheard something. Like, it's pretty dangerous. It's pretty silly. And it's kind of disappointing that everybody kind of latched onto it in spite of their own face. And now that'll probably be in the public discourse moving forward. Like, I can't wait to see somebody, even in our community, be like, I thought Boston was selling. It's like, no, it was from nobody. And it just kind of got into the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And now it's there. Now you have to constantly bat it down. Like, nobody knows what's happening. Nobody's decided what they're doing yet. Okay, that's probably not true. I'm sure there's some teams have decided to, you know, know what they're doing, but it hasn't been put to a vote. So what's the point?
The thing is, like, you cannot, like, if you do not have the information on what next year looks like, the updated operating agreement, what are you saying yes or no to?
Right.
Right? Like, are you per se saying you're out? That would be weird, right? Like, if mm-hmm. Blizzard comes out and says, oh, we have Microsoft money now, everyone gets $3 million a year, you're still out? Like, not saying, by the way, this is not, like, this was my ridiculous number in order to illustrate that, like, there could be a case, but this is definitely not going to happen, right? Like, we can all agree mm-hmm. that was, I'm not soft-licking or anything here, but, like, no. Are you really out in any case? That just seems hardly believable. So, I don't know, this... And then, of course, the aspect that, to the best of my knowledge, I think it is still a majority decision. So, you cannot just peace out because you're have a franchise contract. So yeah, and then also, like, Toronto Defiant directly said that they want to stick around, but that they also want to. Have the or are strongly thinking that the money will be hitting their bank accounts by Q4 this year. Like, this just flies into the underlying concept of that very tweet. Like, just from the stuff that, like, is out in the public, it should have been pretty obvious. It will be much more obvious come this week, I think. Come next week, come.
Right.
It's just like, it's. Even, like, more so. Like, the community manager, like, saying that as well should just weigh higher in your in your prize than someone, you know, a fan account tweeting.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, that's all it was a fan account. It had some sexy things to say, and everybody kind of latched onto it. Yeah, it's silly. Any final thoughts there?
Nope. All good on my part.
All right. ATL. Apparently, there's drama.
Okay.
It's Chiyo. It's versus Donghak versus God knows who, what, when, where. Is it safe to say this team was gigaboomed after losing to London?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of the difficulty with stuff like this, where it's just like, this is all, you know, a throwout. I guess they were also, you know, mostly boomed after losing to Spark, not London, because they lost to London and they got eliminated. But I think this just points to, like, some internal discourse that, you know, seemed to be a breeding ground for it, let's say, right? Like, it didn't strike me as the most, like, well-led team. Good players won all the time, and then they started losing. It's, yeah, shit like this happens. I don't know.
It's an uphill battle just from the team structure, I think. But I will also say, I think it's a little known fact that, I think people who were at Grand Finals realized this, but Wizard Young was actually back with them, I think, is what I heard. And then... on the specific Chiyo stream, we got one side now, right?
Like,
one guy that's also the veteran, that's also not the 17-year-old, that's also not the rookie, speaking on their experience. And, like, it is weird to me how noticeably worse this team played this this tournament, right? I felt like this team, like, I think Florida had a lot of respect and thought they were the biggest opponent. And I think that also is down to Atlanta putting a lot of resources into that. They looked completely unprepared against London.
Yeah, no. Like, just fucking lost.
Wouldn't surprise me if these kids didn't spend a minute, like, of thought on that strategy. They got rolled.
Yep.
And, yeah, then you just got, like, if that's the case, you just got to lose. I'm sorry. You just got to lose.
That's the case.
Now, I understand that, like, they're very experienced coaches there. So I assume that's probably not the case. You do have to make a value estimation where you want to spend your time, especially with the limited time that you're allotted, especially under wildly changing meta. I think it was very weird for them to handshake Spark into Dive.
Okay, interesting.
You should, why? You know, like,
I mean, I can understand the logic of, like, we think we are the best team. I think we've proven that we're the best team, you know, speaking from, like, Atlanta player or coach's perspective, at that composition. We don't really care that Spark are good at it. I would imagine they probably don't respect them in that region, especially after mid-season. Probably hearing that they had to travel in, didn't have a ton of scrim time. Like, we're fresh, we're ready to go. This, you know, we literally won a major title on this composition, so we should be able to compete and just handshake and beat them with it. And just there was no synergy with Donghak. It seemed like everybody was chasing after him. Homie was just dead all the time, and if he wasn't dead, then he was pulling, like, Fielder and Chiyo out of position. What that means in context to, like, this stream that was translated where Chiyo's kind of, like, talking about, like, the inner workings of Atlanta this season, I don't know. But it seemed pretty obvious that, like, he was having an off day. Strategically, I don't think we got, like, a great look from Atlanta from the playoffs, because obviously they didn't play in the play-ins, where I feel like a lot of this got field tested, and then they came in. And did you hear anything, like, scrim bucks wise? Were they doing well with, like, the Zarya stuff? You think they just go that way?
I don't know. I feel like
that's my question, is, like, I don't know what else you do. I don't think you don't Ryan.
What you heard was Orisa? That they try to, like, get another player in, right? Like, they trial some folks there.
Yeah. Nope.
I think you're high if you think you can get a better tank than Donghak at that point.
that last minute, yeah, you're not getting anybody better.
Like, I don't know who the source there is that wants to make you switch from the rookie of the year. But, like, that, I think that's probably the title losing decision.
Sure.
To expect a 17-year-old to go into these matches with full confidence after a vote of non-confidence.
Yeah,
is wild. That's where you lose this. And then, like, of course, this, like, just goes awry, right?
Yep.
So I think that's probably where it fell apart. I think you could have maybe saved it doing your own shit with Hawk. If they tried that, like, I think...
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that was my, like, hope. Was that during the Spark series, they had to call an audible and they get Hawk in and you just start, like, getting in early. Like, either you admit that this, like, the classroom is lost and you have to try to get some confidence back and you start, like, figuring it out with Hawk to, like, at this moment, so that you go into whoever you play next. Obviously, in this universe, it was London. And the players have more, you know, preparation with Hawk under the helm, because, again, I would have to imagine they probably had some scrims with him playing Zarya, if, like, that was the hotness at the beginning of that patch scrim cycle. But there again, much like I said, like, a couple shows back when we were doing our predictions, I feel like a lot of those scrim bucks are probably just, like, a little outdated, where it was like everybody's jamming fucking Zarya and Sojourn and Genji all together. Is that what we saw? No. you know, shit develops. So it's like, you know, you gotta like, I don't know. That was rough. And there's no like good option here. It seemed like this was happening for a while. Maybe since they started kind of slumping a little bit towards the end of the regular season, where they lost to like, I think they got what, reverse swept by Outlaws, and they lost to Mayhem or something around those lines. I know they had two of those losses, but they didn't play in play-ins. They were kind of, you know, a little shaky there. Didn't, you know, I would imagine they probably did extremely well in scrims, but that was just not the team that showed up. And again, the prep for this team just didn't seem like it was there. Yeah, I would agree with what you said. Like, they just seemed not, that was not Atlanta rain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. I think this, for most of this year, like, even, I will even say, even with this playoff patch, it was probably, they were probably still the second favorite to win this after Mayhem. Even like with all said and done, and I know this is a comical take seeing how they lost to Spark in London, but their capabilities here, especially also in this meta, their peak is just way higher than any of the other, like also than Outlaws.
Easily.
They should have absolutely hit the finals, and there's a reason why they didn't, and I hope we find out more, but that's, what are you linking here?
It's just the age-old Arnold quote, you know? Oh, shout-outs to the esports messiah himself, Genji Arnold.
Yeah, yeah.
2021 timeless tweet. Honestly, timeless wisdom. This permeates throughout Overwatch, League of Legends, everywhere, baby. Sometimes in esports, I feel like more than half of the key to winning a championship is to not implode on the way there. So based. And it feels so dumb to say that, but it's just so true.
Yeah.
How many like championship rosters just like you can smell it from a mile away that like it's waiting to blow up. And it just does. And they show up in playoffs and they buster out and you're just left wondering what the fuck could have happened. You know what happened? That locker room stunk. Somebody pissed on the floor, shit in the lockers, and started beating each other with locks in their socks. Like it wasn't good, you know?
Yeah.
And you got to be able to manage that, you know? And my eyes look from the top down. I don't think anybody was a saint, but you know, I think everybody has some things to say there, some responsibility to kind of own up to.
Yeah. I think
I guess
it's important to hear all sides on this, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I don't think anybody should just be going, oh, Chiyo's a saint. Maybe not. I don't think anybody should be going, oh, Donghak's the worst person ever. It's like, I don't know. We probably won't ever really know. But what we can say, Atlanta Reign didn't show up the playoffs. It sounds like things were amiss in, you know, internally. I feel like that's a safe assumption. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
That's Atlanta for you. But that wasn't the only drama that we got within the last week. Apparently, famed Chinese coach Ray, as well as Dokebi, where I think they got buried a little bit. But you know, there was a lot of like Chinese coach drama that kind of popped out. Any insight or feelings about that before we kind of get into coaching ad in general?
Okay, so on Ray specifically, I think it's... Okay, first, let me say Lemon Kiwi once again totally vindicated with the take on why the fuck are we voting Coach of the Year.
Based. So true.
I will say on some teams it's more obvious than others. I feel like you can see it in Mayhem.
There
it felt obvious. Now, I will say to say that Ray was never a good coach is probably also wrong, because the success that it followed him, generally speaking, like, you know, the even season Chengdu Hunters meme, whenever Ray was in, the success he had early in Overwatch, like, generally speaking, he had good performances.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear that allegedly or supposedly it was more that they had also success despite him, especially like if it is actually true that you wanted to have leave out, not only is he your boy for like several years, but for a shitter like Kaneki in comparison to leave, okay, is fucking wild.
Yeah.
That man was clearly the best player, okay, on your team, and also probably clearly the best player in the league at that time. Like,
sure.
It just felt like, I think we said it at the time, this was probably the most decisive MVP performance.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Like, yeah, Lib was good that year, but like, come on. Leaf was fucking lights out. And to hear that he was on the chopping block, nah, my guy, you don't.
Yeah.
Right? And like, maybe he comes out and says, well, this was really just like a way to apply pressure and get the highest percentages out of Leaf. And like, there is something to be said about like harmony in a team is also not correlated to success in this game. Okay. Yep. So, but yeah, like I think some of the decisions, especially around like this year, it seemed pretty obvious that Spark played better after him.
Sure. Yeah.
Is wild. Like that definitely, like there's very little, if there's, that ends up being true, there's very little excuses to be made here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd like to think there's a more nuanced point here where he probably was a good coach. He probably lost passion and also had additional responsibilities along the way, and it like got sour.
Yeah. And that's kind of like where I sit with it too, where it sounds like the age old like traditional sports coach that like had some success but was really shitty to work for, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know football, but like from my understanding, Belichick's like that. You know, where like you just, nobody really enjoys working for him, but his kind of resume kind of precedes itself. It's kind of hard not to like listen. You know, and was Ray at that level? Obviously not. No, but he was successful to some degree, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of that stuff makes a lot of sense, to be honest with you. As much as in the past, I would like glaze him over like his creativity. Yeah, sometimes players don't fucking like that shit. Because you want to know why? You get farmed in scrims.
Yeah.
And you can't. As much as everybody wants to think that like the coach has the foremost authority and power, you don't. You just don't. You're not like some authoritarian like governing body, and like all the players will like hut to when you tell them to jump. Like, that's just not the case. And yeah, a lot of that stuff made a lot of sense. The leave stuff that that would be interesting to get some context on, because that to me, like you said, was that like a leveraging tool to try to get him to like, you know, get angry. I don't know what that's about. That seems really, really crazy that he would say that he was going to get in Kaneki, because they're not close in terms of skill.
Yeah.
Was that like a business thing? Because I think around the same time, weren't they talking about like selling him, trading him?
Not sure.
So like that to me is like a big question mark, but the rest of it seems like, yeah, I could see that. Cause let's be honest. And for those who are a little bit new to esports, I'm going to clue you in. Shit happens. And it happens in the West too. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of Western players, and look no further than like Albert's like juice stream, his juice-a-thon, where like Western coaches or coaches that have been imported to the West have these kind of same opinions and these same like attitudes. I think Albert even talked about how unnamed, basically just a Korean coach that they brought in and was just like flaming Zephyr, and then like fired him day of, or like incredibly quickly. Like the turnaround for this guy was like super, super fast. because they were just like super, super aggro towards the players and just not, you know, you can't have that. And I think that that's pretty like, I won't say common, but I think it's a little bit more common. Apparently it's unread, I believe, is the coach in question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe he pointed out them. But yeah, I don't think it's common, but I think it's a little bit more, it happens more than I think the public realizes. And if I'm going to be honest, yeah, I think there's a lot of like people who probably could have, a lot of Western players probably have some opinions about their coaches that are probably founded in some sense of truth that, you know, maybe get around to these same kind of topics where it's like really hard to work for, super, super, like they'll get on your ass. Like they're, it was their way or the highway, you know, it just was like authoritarian. And it just didn't, you know, it bred hostility, you know, in some ways. That's kind of like synthesizing the Ray and the Dokebi discussion, maybe some of the No-Hill discussion down. Yeah, coaches in esports are selected, and this is kind of a broader point, to be like hyper confident. If you aren't hyper confident or come from like a passive success as a player or as like an expert or as another coach, whatever, I think it's really hard for players to buy into like any kind of systems that you're bringing or like take any stock into what you have to say about their gameplay. So you need to like brute force your way through like sheer charisma alone and just like beat them over the head with like just telling like the LS strategy, right? Like I think LS is like popularized this style of just like, this is shit, here's why. And at least it's like founded in somewhat, you know, there is some truth to it. I do think LS is intelligent, but like the way he handles it is, you know, maybe not necessarily always the most constructive way, right? And I think that like just esports coaches in general, that's who we select for. We want the hyper confident, just it's, you know, that authoritarian presence, I think, just gets players to buy in at least early. And yeah, it doesn't shock me that, you know, this is coming out about Ray. It wouldn't shock me if there was coaches in the West that this came out about, to be honest.
True. Yeah. I mean, in the end, like all that matters is win rates and staying within, you know, everything. Yeah, that's
there's kosher. There's definitely lines that you don't cross. Yeah. Is, you know, are players saints? No, probably not all the time. Nope. You know, coaches definitely. I would say probably. I won't speculate, but yeah, I think that there's a lot of coaches who, you know, are difficult to work for. Some maybe are a little bit more, I think maybe it would surprise people in the public light, you know, who might be was, you know, who was a little bit difficult to work with, both as a player and as a coach. And yeah, it sucks that, you know, this has come out. Somebody who I, you know, put up on a coaching Mount Rushmore for Overwatch for a long time. And yeah, it's pretty shitty to see him kind of have a little bit of a fall from grace. Mm. Also doesn't surprise me. I don't know. It's not shocking.
Sure.
Everybody should go watch what was the Team Liquid documentary with like Loco and Dardock? Remember that?
Oh yeah.
Liquid Rising or some shit?
Oh god. Yeah.
No, it wasn't Rising. I don't know. There's a League of Legends documentary where I think that Breaking Point. Yeah. Everybody go watch Team Liquid Breaking Point from 6 years ago. HTC Gaming. It's a great example of like esports coaches and their relationship with players, especially star players. Great example. It goes everywhere. It's just a archetypical piece for esports. Definitely go check that out. Last thoughts on coaching. Anything there?
No, there are many ways to win. There are
based.
You can be like the problem is many of those ways will never be recognized as real things by players.
Yep.
They're notoriously bad at any interpersonal evaluation until they see the meaningful results.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is some stuff to be said about like the transformative nature of certain coaching styles. I'm thinking also of Christopher and what he did to
sure.
the specific like set of guys that he has, like his core. It seems like very obvious that he had a huge impact on that, especially in contrast to what his players were capable of before he got to coach them.
Yep.
So, I think as I said, there are many ways to coach, and to evaluate that in the end, the question is, have they done it in a kosher way, and what's their win rate? Those are the two questions.
Agreed. I think hopefully in esports as a whole, and as we move forward, we get we back off the hands check just a little bit, and we get to who the coaching staff can work with. You know what I mean? I miss the days of the coachability meme because I do think that is an attribute that it is being slept on just a smidge.
Sure.
Terms of in favor of just having sexy hands players that just go
crazy.
It's
also like a little bit like, I don't know where that comes from, but like when team culture goes wrong,
mm-hmm.
yes, the most responsibility falls with the head coach, but he's not entirely to blame for that.
No, not at all.
Like they're like, if your veteran players cannot control themselves, that's also... like a thing,
and the
that
players
has to be...
do not get a complete
no
scapegoat here. I think they tend to get scapegoated and get forgotten about in terms of like, you know, finger wagging from the public a lot, because you know that's their favorite players by nature. But players also have a lot of responsibility in this. You know, veteran players, team leaders. You know, if we're gonna start calling people captains, guess what? Captain's job. You're that in-game coach. You're that in-game, you know, leadership figure that has to be able to kind of get a hold of the conversation, or, you know, some things need to happen. You know, so you have to take a real look in the mirror, and some teams don't ever have to get to that point. I love the conversation that I think you've had with Chris in the past. I think we've had it on the show, and you just kind of brought it up not too long ago, where harmony isn't always great all the time. Sometimes you need a little bit of constructive discourse to like solve a problem, to get to growing. It's healthy. What you need is a balance, you know, maybe like a 70-30 balance of like harmony and discord.
Yeah.
Constructive discord, not hostility. That's where a lot of this goes into, where like the authoritarian coach loses all the hands players and they completely check out and they lock them out of the office for the day, and everything just becomes a headbutting contest. You know, like if you get to that point, blow it up. You're not getting it back. Like you need to you need Mother Teresa to solve this shit, because shit's cooked.
Yeah.
You ever wonder why so many teams just sign players midseason and they start fielding them and, you know, it goes a little bit better? Gotta change something. Gotta change the dynamic a little bit.
Yeah.
Get people to buy in. I don't know. You could throw a dart at a dartboard and land on some of those moves and be like, yeah, internals probably sucked. They needed a new dynamic. They changed up the culture a little bit. This player came in. Things went a little bit better. Ta-da. You know?
Sure.
But you shouldn't have to do that. Regardless.
Yep.
Coaching rant aside, we do have BlizzCon, Overwatch World Cup groups, which, to be fair, A, go support the Overwatch World Cup. Go buy the skins. It's a pretty dope skin. $30, not too bad. You're also contributing to the prize pool. If you feel a type of way about the ending of the Overwatch League Grand Finals a couple weeks back, and you're feeling, you know, inclined to support the future of the game, this is the easy way to do it. Go watch some streams. You know, be out there, get out there, mobilize.
Yeah, fair. I still think like the value proposition for the buyer needs to be, in check, and like I can definitely say,
sure.
like I wouldn't buy this for the sake of supporting esports necessarily. First and foremost, it should be a good skin, and like you should.
Yes, I agree.
And I think
you're getting something out of this.
Yeah. And yeah,
Soldier skin's cool. It's a dope skin
for sure. Yeah.
And like you get the side effect of like, yeah, this is going towards the prize pool. I'm supporting. I'm getting something like. This isn't just like donating money. Like you're paying for a good, and like it's also the extra credit goes to the pot, which is great. Apparently, there's team scrimming. Everybody, go check those out again. You know, If you feel a type of way and you want Overwatch to succeed as an esport moving forward, whatever comes next, now's the time to mobilize. Now's the time to get out there and you know, actually watch some streams and show your support. Contenders as well, too.
By the way, like, I heard that certain out teams, or like, basically, like, as the playoffs went on and as teams got eliminated, of course, you're not getting scrims out of them, right?
Sure, of course. Yeah.
So, like, some World Cup teams actually ended up scrimming out teams, and it wasn't half bad for some of them. Interesting. So, yeah, I don't know, like, I already told you, like, usually, I'll be honest.
He's a World Cup hater.
I don't care about that shit.
He gives two shits.
Like, yeah, it's completely boring to me. The very concept.
Has your emotions, now that you know, you're cooled off a little bit, are we still watching a World Cup?
I'm watching it because I want to see the players that I care about play. Okay. But you probably will only catch me watch games of like USA, Korea,
yeah, like the good
China. That's.
Oh, come on. You're telling me you don't want like a toilet bowl. Like some of these, we'll go through the groups and we'll give like a brief little. Come on. Some of these are going to be hilarious.
Nah. I'll be around, probably in voice, but like.
Yes, you'll have a good time. It'll be great second monitor content. It's going to be fantastic. But we do have the groups. That's why we're here. We have groups for the 2023 Overwatch World Cup. Right. Let's go down Group A. All right, ready? This is a hitter. There is a group of death. We'll get to them. But we'll go down and we'll give a quick little hot take. Colombia, Finland, Mexico, South Korea. Top two teams in Group A. Go.
Finland and Korea.
In that order?
No. What?
Hey, I was just making sure, smoking, you know, just clarifying. Yeah. Mango Pepsi poster, man. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I would agree. South Korea, Finland. Shout out Mexico though. Shout out to the guy, homie. Know me.
Ikeo playing for Colombia or is Israel in the?
Yes. No, he is. He is okay. He's the standout.
Has he not played for Israel in the past?
I think he did.
Wait,
that's
allowed?
I think he's a dual citizen.
Wait, you can just like pick whatever you like in Overwatch?
I mean, yeah.
Because
I think
Kyle
like has dual citizenship and played in Japan for a while.
Usually like you commit to a team, like once you're committed, once you play one World Cup in football, for instance, you're just committed to the system now. Yeah, well, you can't switch.
I mean, it was the 2017 World Cup, so there's definitely like a gap.
Yeah, same person, right?
It is the same person.
Did he transfer bodies or something? Like,
he uploaded his consciousness to I don't know.
Based.
Hey, look, I don't write the rules. I'm just here to talk about them. Group B, we have Team Australia, Team Brazil, Canada, and the United Kingdom. Top two teams, Jessica. Where are they?
Wait, sorry. United Kingdom, Australia, Brazil, Canada. Gotta be UK first, Canada second.
Canada's team is Seeker, Noxious, Astronex.
Is Crimzo in there?
Crimzo and Cal are the support line with Magic Mate Ball. We love Mate Ball.
Wait, why are you saying Mate Ball?
Magic Mate Ball.
Is it Mate Ball or is it 8 Ball?
I don't know. There's an M before the 8. I say Mate.
Okay. Yeah, well, fair.
Astronex. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time pronouncing that name. It's Astronex and False as Tanks. I don't know if that like sways you at all. I'm a little bit down on Canada.
Okay.
I think this might be the year that Australia makes it out.
Wait, who is on Australia? Maybe.
Notable names. You want all the names or you want notable names?
All the names. Eric, get them up for us.
So from top down from DPS, you've got Quinn, Nami, famed player, one of Avril's guys. I know he hyped him up for a long time. Nanda, Tank, Kuffa, support, Merit, Bert Log and Aki.
Okay.
I don't know too much about some of them, but Cuffa and Nami, I've heard a lot of good things about. I think Australia is a region that kind of gets a little slept on. And I don't particularly think Canada is like super juicy. I think they should make it out. We'll see.
You looked at that team and went, do I believe this? you had a little second guess. Mine was already, these guys don't even have profile pictures. This is fucking over.
They're just too lazy, okay? Like they're too busy having fun in scrims, okay?
True.
They got a good team culture over there. Team Canada, I don't know. I don't know about them, okay? Magic Mate Ball, we're going to have to see.
Look, I'm just saying Australia just to get one last chance to turn the entire Punk family against me once more.
You're just stirring the pot, man. You just hate to see them win. You're never going to beat the anti-Australia allegations, okay?
Lord.
You will never. But yeah, I think we both agree UK makes it out. That's an easy clap for
you. Yeah, sure.
All right, Group C. China, Hong Kong, Spain, Thailand.
China, Spain.
China, Spain.
Yeah, easy clap.
Okay. I'm going China, Hong Kong, because I want my guy Mango Jai to get out.
Even though, here's the thing. Spain was one of the teams that scrimmed all teams.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That was before their shit exploded, so...
okay,
I'm not sure how, I don't know how you guys, this is literally just, a fun event. Like, how are you fucking imploding everywhere? It's insanity.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing that, a bunch of people, Hero leaves, Punk joins, Lauren leaves, Bones is promoted to the main roster. They just have a bunch of shuffles. Huh, weird.
I don't understand either.
I know Helv, though. Helv is a name that I definitely recognize and I think is worth, worth a look in terms of players to watch. Spain, I could see Spain maybe doing some damage. Thailand, I think, never shouldn't count them out.
By the way, fucking insane that Denmark didn't make it out. They were in the group with Spain and France and
yep.
Shit to
that group in general was real dicey. Denmark, I think also Denmark had to go through the open quals. No, there's a little bit of drama there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a little goofy, silly, haha, funny posting.
Yeah,
Norway, Sweden didn't make it out this year. Granted, they were playing with Saudi Arabia, Finland. It's a kind of a juicy group, but
yeah,
Denmark didn't make it out. Yeah, tough out here. Tough out here, but yeah, China, number one, getting out, first seed. Second seed, kind of a toss up. We'll have to see. Group D. D for death. France, Japan, Saudi Arabia, United States. Who in the fuck makes it out of this group?
Really?
No, I think it's pretty obvious, but...
Yeah, it's got to be USA first.
Yeah.
And then France second, right? My guy, they just imploded, no? Saudi Arabia as well?
I think... No, I think Yasna is just the only person that's left. I think it's still, it's UB Quartz, KSA, Haku, Surmageddon, 1.
You might be right. Yeah. Okay, maybe this one is actually closer.
I think it's USA, Saudi Arabia. France probably should put up a fight.
Can we get the France roster up?
France is Avo. Plays for Pitbull Storm.
Yeah.
Eco. Pack plays for Play. Ben Best, Poco, FD God, and Natlox of Ataraxia. Not a bad team. Again, players that I think can be, you can kind of count on. I don't think Nico is going to be too terribly bad. Again, this is not the Overwatch League, guys. This is World Cup. He probably can compete a little bit. But again, in the Group of Death, is he going to be able to hold up with some of the young guns coming out of Saudi Arabia? I've heard a lot of good things about UB and Quartz. Again, I don't think we need to talk about, how fucking giga stacked the US is this year with Sugarfree Hydron leading the DPS. And then if you really wanted, you could play Dante at wherever. Come on. Kind of nasty.
The fact that they also serious boot camping and shit is
yeah.
is interesting.
Yep.
Maybe they take a map of Korea.
We'll see. If it ends up being South Korea, USA, I think that's going to be a fucking electric stadium. I think that's going to be super, super hype. Because Korea comes out, you know. I've been to a couple World Cup finals like that, and Korea shows up. They're out there. They're yelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So credit to them. It's not the U.S., you know, but, you know, they're out there. But yeah, I think it's pretty cut and dry for Group D. Maybe France can do something a little surprising, but we'll have to wait and see. All right. As we're getting a little long in the tooth, do we want to jump to hills to die on?
Let's go.
All right.
Do we want to start with yours?
We can start with mine. Mine's kind of a gimme.
Okay. Eric? Lock us in.
Hit me with my hill. Hills to die on.
So this is a tweet from January 2022. And it's a reply to the Chengdu Hunters announcing that Ray was stepping down as a head coach and would become an honorary advisor instead.
Yeah.
And Joe replied, color me sad. Ray has consistently been overlooked for coaching accolades while boasting a resume unmatched. Was so excited to see what kind of miracles he could whip up in Overwatch 2. Until
like,
next time,
like
rest well, Ray. How about them apples, Joe?
Snapping that belt all the way through.
That man wanted to bench Leaf in his MVP season, okay?
Yeah, that's silly posting. That is ha-ha, I'm on the ganja silly posting. That's the Zaza, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's indefensible. I think at the time, I would still fight at that battle. I think especially with how well Spark performed in lieu of his departure, and him kind of bailing out on Team China this year. Granted, like there's no shot that would ever work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that you can kind of like pretty much scratch his name from like any kind of like greatest of all time lists. Like it's pretty chalk now. I think he's
I don't know if that's true.
You don't think so?
No,
I don't know.
I think like you now have to look at Moon with a much more critical eye. Like this man,
I mean,
really good season one to
yeah,
like season two having an 0-8 start or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leaving there to getting the Chang'an Dragons becoming coach of the year, I think, in that year.
Mm-hmm.
To like now coaching this and like making some really questionable pickup decisions, saying Fletta is the best tank in the trials.
Yeah.
Then later on, picking his boy Fade up and like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I think like I wonder if former Moon players were to talk, what they would have to say. For instance, I would be confident about Christopher. Like, if you talk to the players about Christopher, if you talk to the players about Rush, if you talk to the players about Gamba.
I keep 9K up there.
Gamba is, sure. 9K is like someone that is always like really high on the estimation of every player. Like, I remember Shockwave, like,
yeah, big fan.
Krusty probably too.
You want a hot take? I'm skeptical of Krusty right now. I think his success precedes it. But if there was ever a time to like raise an eyebrow,
it's not
great.
I feel like San Francisco Shock is the most successful franchise of all time. In the Overwatch League.
Agree.
Bar none.
Agree.
Right?
Yep. Not close.
That started. No, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true. It didn't start. I think like Brad also put the like got it
Brad
on the
Brad had
tracks,
the building
but...
blocks and Krusty got to, you know, knock the T-ball out of the park. But
and
like,
then,
you know,
like,
moving
yeah,
forward.
The improvement, of course, like winning season two is major. I think like I get where you're coming from, but still, like his team was one map away from winning three, I think then we all think very differently already.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. You know, that the fact that they were so close with Dallas, definitely, like,
no,
that's fair. But I think this year was fucking
yeah, this
bad,
year was,
man. Come on.
Yeah, not a masterclass for sure. No. Also not a huge fan of the switches and the crack pipe.
No.
But you also don't know what went on behind the scenes.
Obviously not. That's you know.
One name that we also should bring up is Junkbug. Junkbug,
yep.
I'm confident folks would not talk smack about. Mm-hmm. I'm probably forgetting other names.
Are we?
Yeah.
I don't think there's too many more. I don't think I ever really put Moon up there. I think like you kind of had to with him like winning a championship, but like even in seasons past, like I don't know, man. I think he's like he feels like a CEO to me. Does that make sense? Like he knows the people to put in charge of the thing to like make the thing run.
Yeah, I also heard good things about Moby.
Yeah, heard really good things about Moby as well. But you know,
yeah, I like the problem is like by omission we're saying the others are shit. I'm just not thinking of everyone, so don't infer that. This is a segment of these are most definitely or very likely to be good. We have a comprehensive list of everyone that was ever good. Right?
Yeah. And this is a segment of let's shit on us because we have dumb, stupid takes that we put out there into the ether, and it's funny to look back in hindsight.
Was it harder once again to find one of mine? Because
no, there's so many good ones. No, there's so many good ones. Linked Eric one earlier. It was fantastic. I clicked on a random old podcast of ours and hit a gem immediately. It was great.
Okay, but before you start, look at us, Joe. We had glow ups, okay?
Did we? Wait. Yes. Yeah. No. It's actually been
you look like
fantastic.
Like fucking hobgoblins in comparison.
yeah. Yeah. Thanks. You know, it's a look. You know, it's a look. We had fun then. We were happier then, let's say. No audio, but as this plays, mm-hmm. I'm gonna let you ruminate on who this player could be, okay? You were quoted with calling this player for the Houston Outlaws, I'll give you that. This player is a shot caller, a flexible DPS that can call, and quote blank, this player's name, is a gem. Do you remember what player that was?
Is that Mendo? No.
Absolutely not. It was Blase for the 2020 Houston Outlaws.
Really? Fucking hell.
Blase. You were high on Blase and Hydration leading the DPS core for the Outlaws that year.
In
I think you're
one,
right.
Was it?
No. This is, I think, season three.
Season three? I was high.
Yeah. Yeah, you're high.
Holy shit.
You're a little toasty. Nah, that's okay.
Holy fuck, that's a
I think you had right takes everywhere else where you're like you know the support line leveled up, the tank line, you know, leveled up ish. That was during the Hydration tank, you know, era.
Right.
And then it was Blase and not so good. Not a little swing and a miss. That's all. That's all.
The thing is, like, was that Blase's rookie season? No.
He was on Boston. That was another big part of your point where you're like, oh, Boston is like great at scouting. And, you know, I think Blase, you know, coming out of that, you know, it should be like a signal of confidence that he's going to be good. And
yeah. That's a
you want another
one.
Classic? Right. I remember his Cassidy too, Eric. I also remember his Cassidy. We'll hit him with a classic, Eric. Hit him with one of these. We love this one. Any Yiska lore knowers know about this one. I've brought it up a couple times. I need you to die on this hill, Yiska. Bring it up, Eric. Get it up there.
No, I still believe that. Okay. I know
audio
where you're
listeners.
Going, but like,
yep. I know. Not... There's just a couple out of context quotes I'm gonna need you to defend.
Right,
audio listeners, this is an entire. This is a what? 3-6-6 year old article that Yiska wrote back in like I think almost out of the beta titled "The Best Player in the World Might Be a Lucio Main."
Dude, I was so hipster. You all you chill motherfuckers, you're on my side now, okay? Lend me your energy against the Lord. Okay. Go on.
The Lord does speaketh. And I think the entire article it basically makes the case for, you know, we shouldn't be immediately discrediting play like main support as a role back then was just Lucio. You just play Lucio and you just mechanics and that was it, right?
Right.
This is back when like Winds was like pushing the payload, smoking cigarettes, a la Sideshow, right? And I think this entire piece was like a warning to not just write off main supports when looking at some of the best players ever, because all they do is quote unquote play Lucio, and that's was meant to be like derogatory, right? However, I should have wrote down the exact quotes. There is points in here that you do kind of look towards Grego.
By the way, also real talk, like linking your own tweets is yikes, dude. What was I doing, dude? Yikes. Okay. Yeah.
Defend the take that Grego could have been one of the best players in the world.
C9 at the time, I think, was the best team in the world.
Yeah, we're good.
What kind of team was that? That was Kaikai. It was Shorefort. It was Grego. It was Adam, I think.
Yeah. Maybe.
Reaver.
Reaver. Well, it depends on the era. Depends on the era. You were going Overwatch Open. It was Kaikai, Shorefort, Debet, Adam, Reaver, Grego.
Oh, yeah. Debet. I forgot. Yeah.
Debet, CSGO player, I think.
Yeah. So, like, it could be possible. Also, Grego for the time was decently, like, mechanical in terms of, players that were playing at the time.
Huh.
But, yeah. Anyone, any other? Like, Eric is highlighting a quote here. I'm getting anxious. What does it say?
Where is that? Shit. Hold on. I'm going to full screen. I'll get it. Ana is Ana. Roadhog is Roadhog. And Bastion is the unification of the unstoppable force and the immovable object.
Keep in mind, this is literally like pirate, isn't it? Like fucking pirate ship.
Still, yeah,
fucking...
we're rolling out on Nepal Village, and we're just playing Bastion comps. Unironically,
did Bastion still have the shield at the time?
I think that didn't make it out of like closed beta.
Okay, might be,
but that was a thing. You know, Overwatch heads. Everybody remembers
that
Bastion
was insane, by the way. Like this character set up on the payload, increased its armor, was in Gatling mode the entire time, and then had a shield. Okay, that shit was fucking wild.
It's true.
This delusion seems to be the crux of the community, and in effect, substantial amount of pro teams and the prime cause for rigid metas. They chase this goal of the perfect composition and try to practice it in order to harness its power while disregarding, unironically, their hero within. What? Oh, well, I'm just saying basically like, beat Chengdu.
You are so base. Eric, pull up the next clip. Pull up the next clip,
I
Eric.
Actually am the Chengdu zone, okay?
You are the Chengdu zone.
Oh, fuck
why.
I didn't know this, okay? I did not know this.
It is not normal. He needs to check him PC. It just lined up so perfectly for audio listeners. It's Yiska in his famous panda makeup with a fat L on his forehead.
That
after
was the,
trying to predict against the Chengdu Hunters.
That was the first Lord bet, right?
It was either the Lord bet or it was the spring tournament where I smurfed and got like all the predictions right, and then I made all those stupid Twitter videos that popped. 2020. Oh, was it 2021? No, that's just when I was posted. That Twitter post comes from 2021.
Okay,
but...
season 4. Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Well.
Good times.
L for leave. Definitely.
L for leave. Not for Ray. That's for sure. Maybe that's the title. Oh man, what a stroll down memory lanes. But yes, Hills to Die On, it's our ending segment. If you remember or can find any dumb shit quotes that we've said in the past, send them in add us on Twitter, add us on the Tactical Crouch Twitter, on our Twitters, who knows, or go to the Discord. I will be including, for anybody who is still listening to this, I will be including an updated link to the Discord in the description, so go check that out. Should be under the community, connect with our competitive Overwatch fans, all that stuff. Check that out. It should work. If it doesn't, add us. I'll get you a new one. And yeah, that's 318. It was fun. Pretty light on the news, but I feel like we got some stuff. It's not just anime, guys. I promise. It won't just be anime.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's still some things going forward. Like, there's news coming up, right? Like,
yep.
We'll talk about some releases. I can't. Oh, here's my final leak, or I think I actually disclosed it in the report that, yeah, there were options triggered. I can confirm this.
And it's more than options, one meaning like
player options.
Players' options for their contracts were triggered for 2024. Right.
Meaning there are still Overwatch players in the world come Monday. Overwatch League players.
Interesting. Okay. Now, I feel like that's something to cope on a little bit, right? Might not mean anything, but like, that's not a terrible sign, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Obviously, you said shortly after this comes out, or around this time, GG Recon's coming out with like a, you know, off season video of some kind that's coming out. What else?
Yeah, we'll have two videos once again, like something more general and then something like more predicty. I think we're talking about whether or not we should maintain the our franchises, or if it's time for them to die. And then, yeah, there's so many concepts to just go over in terms of like how the scene is set up, in terms of like gameplay concepts. There's shitloads to discuss. I don't know. Like, I feel like literally it's impossible to run out of content.
Hell yeah. All right. Here we go. Into the breach again. Day 11, day 12. What will this be? This will be a day 11 of waiting for season info. By the time you guys listen to this, thank you all for listening for over the years. Check out the Patreon if you want to support us monetarily. If you can't support us monetarily, hit that algorithm. Do all the things that makes our robot overlords appreciate us and like us and push us. And yeah, we will see you next week with God knows what kind of drama. And hopefully maybe more information on our new tank character coming in season 7 and debuting at BlizzCon. So stay tuned to that.
Wait, coming in season 8, right?
Oh, whatever. Season 8, season 7. Who's fucking counting?
Right.
Anyways, right. See you next week. Bye.
Peace.